Let's sit down with Matt Stringer, the Chief Executive of RNIB. It's time for our weekly catch-up with news on literature, fundraising and the cost of living. Matt, thank you very much for joining us.
Hello, Alan. Lovely to speak to you again.
Now, importantly, we are talking a lot over the months about the cost of living and the impact that's having on blind and partially sighted people. We've got some more news, some more work being done, some more collaboration, brainstorming.
So a couple of things from the RNIB. So first of all, we've convened a bunch of charities from the Disability Charity Consortium in the VI sector, and including in that some of the smaller local societies who sit within the Visionary Group, to come together and have a sort of combined social media takeover day, where we've been going out collectively and in an aligned way, using the same sort of collateral, doing the same messaging on social media about the cost of living crisis under the sort of hashtag support can't wait. And we are exploring and highlighting some of the main challenges and, you know, across the different organisations involved, and people are retweeting and building on each other's social media activity. So, you know, I'm just looking at a tweet now that we retweeted from Scope. We're doing the Sense with Sense, Leonard Cheshire. But, you know, we're all supporting people of disability who are, you know, disproportionately impacted by the cost of living crisis. So there's also on our website, we've improved and updated the sort of cost of living web pages, and it's front and centre on our website. If you click on our website today, you'll see cost of living with an invitation to find out more. And if you click into that, you'll find a ton of really important information on emotional support, free mobile data packages, managing finances, sharing experiences, campaigning. But our job is to keep our beneficiaries and our customers very much in our sights and thoughts, and also those of government and those people who can do something about this, energy companies, retailers, you know, people who provide food, heating, eating, and make sure that they're front and centre. And I think, you know, doing it collectively with a bunch of charities carries greater weight than us doing it on our own. One thing unilaterally as part of that, and again announced sort of today, is setting up a small fund to help people with some of their transport costs to go to eye health appointments. We've had stories of people not attending eye health appointments because it's too much in a taxi, it's too difficult to get there, and you know they've got to make choices on where they spend their money, and they're putting it into food or into heating, and that's not acceptable. You know, people shouldn't miss eye health appointments. So again, I'm pleased that we put a small fund out there which will help some people with their appointments. Any listeners who are interested in that, you know, please do come through our sight loss advice service. They can point you in the right direction.
That crisis affects individuals, but it also affects charities when you think of fundraising. You know, of course, we're heading towards the end of a financial year, but, you know, many charities plan way ahead as well for their services. So being mindful of that when it comes to income too.
I think people are now starting to see a little bit of fall off in income as people are making choices on where they spend their money. You know, it's not just sort of Netflix subscriptions they're cancelling. It's also subscriptions and donations, maybe a raffle, you know, monthly raffle ticket being bought for charity. These things are being dialed back. And clearly, you know, we're in a bit of a pinch point, aren't we, in terms of needing to be there more than ever to support our beneficiaries whilst potentially seeing a fall off in income that helps fund those activities. So, you know, make no apology that we're very focused on generating income. And again, you know, big thank you to lots of the listeners who would be supporting us, I'm sure, at the moment. And, you know, it doesn't go unappreciated.
Time for one more topic, Matt. We'll squeeze this one at the end. We're going to look at reading, something which you and I are big fans of when it comes to books. Not just for leisure, though, you know, for education. RNIB has RNIB Bookshare, which provides all sorts of accessible formats for students studying at school right through to university. It's free of charge and a hugely vital resource for people, especially with their education titles. And I think we can kind of have a look at the work which you mentioned a couple of months ago, Matt, about support for blind and partially sighted people when it comes to reading in Ukraine as well.
Our services around books and around reading, you know, one of the bedrocks of the organisation is one of the things, it's in our heritage, you know, audio books for blind servicemen after the First World War, and how we developed, you know, things like the long playing record to give people access to reading materials. You know, it's been part of our DNA for a very long time, and I'm just very proud, you know, and delighted that we still provide such a great service. You know, in the UK, we're getting over a million titles on Bookshare, you know, access to a million titles. You know, there's going to be something for everyone in those million titles. And I know, you know, as we've gone through COVID and as we were talking about earlier, the cost of living crisis, people feeling a bit isolated, a bit down, less able maybe to go out either because of COVID restrictions or costs. You know, to have access to audiobooks is just a great boon. It's a great support. And, you know, one of the things we've talked about through this year has been our support for Ukraine. And, you know, I can't believe we're almost approaching the anniversary of the invasion in February. So we've done a lot in the early part of the crisis to provide equipment and provide money to support refugees. And, you know, we had the Ukrainian students over in December working with Thomas Pocklington Trust and Sarah Ferguson, Duchess of York, to give them an experience. And I'm sure we'll do that again, actually. But the more involved thing we've been trying to do as RNIB is sort of build a library for Ukraine in many cities. Institutions where people used to go to access books were shelled, in places like Kharkov, Kiev. And it's taken a bit of time because there's all sorts of issues of sort of intellectual property and copyright and getting things into the Ukrainian language and all the rest of it. But we're basically getting to the point whereby we've got a minimal viable product. At the moment, we've uploaded 360 Ukrainian language books. All the basic functionality works. In a couple of weeks, we're just going to develop user authentication and some visual user interfaces. And then we will be handing it over to the Ukrainian users. So, you know, by the end of the month, that library is up and running. And I think from contact we've had with a lot of blind and partially sighted people in Ukraine, you know, this service will be really well received. And I'm just really delighted and proud that the RNIB have been able to provide something which will give enormous support to people who, you know, we can only imagine what sort of harrowing times they're having, and any succor we can bring, I'm very proud we're doing so.
Great news indeed, Matt, as you say. And if you would like any information on the topics we've been discussing, or you'd like some more information from RNIB, do have a look at the website, rnib.org.uk, or you can speak to our very helpful people on the helpline. The number is 0303 123 9999, and you can even use your Amazon Echo device to call RNIB's helpline. Matt, out of time once again, and we will catch up with you again next week, but thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
No, my pleasure, Alan. I'm looking forward to, you know, sort of talking again about the Ukrainian library with you once it's up and running and we get a bit of feedback. So that'd be a nice thing to pick up in a few weeks' time, but nice to speak to you again.